welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me today. Praise God. It's always so good to gather together. I feel like we kind of in the spirit, we all gather together in a group, in a circle, and we're just spending time with the Lord and learning from Him and being ministered to by His Spirit, because it's not just the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God that quickens that Word. And it's my heart's desire that you receive. It's not just that I want to teach and preach the Word of God, but I want you to experience the very presence and power of God, that transforming anointing that causes situations to change and your own heart and life to change. That's what we need. We need a demonstration of the power of God. That's what Paul said, I don't come with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what we need. We need to be able to declare and experience that God is real. He's just not a theological concept, but He's alive and moving in the lives of His people today and to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. He's not far from any of us. Amen. So we've been looking these last several days at Job and the experiences that he had and the effect of that difficult time when his friends were accusing him, his wife didn't understand him, he lost everything, including physical health. There he was on the ash heap where the dogs would come and lick his sores, and finally God shows up and doesn't answer any of his questions. But what happens? Job gets a revelation of God. He says, I heard thee with the hearing of the ear, now I see thee with my own eyes. In other words, he sought God, how powerful, how great he was, and came to the correct conclusion that it really isn't about him. And just like in his sake, it's not about us either. It's about God. History is His story. And so, beloved, if you're willing through the circumstances of your life to get alone with God and to trust Him, even as Job did, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. If you will get a vision of the Lord, then you'll begin to walk with Christ. And there's four things I'd like to share with you. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we'll just go as long and as far as the Lord enables. The first of these four things that I want to share with you is, if we have a vision of God, we begin to see what God sees. You know, in Matthew, the 28th chapter, that those final words of Jesus we speak of as the Great Commission. What did he say? Go ye therefore into all the world and make them disciples. That's what he was saying. He was calling us on a mission that we were to make disciples, and we were to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that is a direct invitation from the Lord, not just to His disciples, but to each and every one of us, if we would be His disciple. He says to follow me. What does that take? That is a head acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ and an assent of the will that, yes, I'm going to follow Christ. It's a decision that you make, and it's something you have and comprehend and understand with your mind. We're to follow Him. And then if we do that, he said, I will make you. That's the wonderful thing, is we can't do it ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. We can't turn ourselves into the people Christ wants us to be. In fact, we have a hard time even turning ourselves into the people we want to be in our own ideas and estimation. But he will make us. It's his power working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's his spirit working in us to transform us. And when he does that, that's a heart change. Our heart then becomes committed. Our heart becomes aligned. Our desires, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty, to inquire in his temple. And as we inquire in his temple, we find out what his heart is. And that is, he has a great heart of compassion and love. And just as he loved you and drew you to himself, so he is reaching out in these final hours of time, in these last days in which we're living, to draw all men unto himself. Jesus said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He accomplished that in his death on the cross. He was lifted up from the earth, suspended between heaven and the earth. And as he breathed his last, he said, Father, it is finished. The work was done. And as a result, mankind was reconciled to God. Hallelujah. But there's yet more to be done. When he says, if I be lifted up, that was accomplished. But beloved, if we, his people, Jesus physically arose from the grave. After 3 days in the tomb, he went down to preach the souls in Hades and led captivity captive. But at the end of 3 days, he arose triumphantly from the grave. That's what we celebrate. His resurrection at Easter time, traditionally, we celebrate Christ has arose, praise God. But also, we see that he went on to heaven. And when he went on to heaven, that's when he gave the Great Commission to his disciples. He also created the church. They went back to Jerusalem. That was the disciples were the initial starting, and then 120 were gathered in the upper room, and the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in power to empower the believers just as he does today. He's not changed. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the Christian life. It's not one of the gifts of the Spirit in terms of the nine gifts. This, what I'm talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which is for every believer, that we can have his abundant life, a partaking of his fullness. We can experience that anointing, the ability to be able to witness, to be able to stand and to proclare the name of the Lord. Look at the disciples. They were weak men. They were hiding behind closed doors. And when the Comforter came, when the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon them, they became a bold witness. And on that first day, 3,000 were added to the church when Peter preached that powerful sermon. So, beloved, we need to be able to lift Jesus up. If I be lifted up, if we lift up Jesus, he will draw all men unto us. Praise God. So, beloved, we need to see Jesus, we need to follow him, which involves our head, the following, the acquiescent to him as Lord and Master. We need to allow him to make us. That's what he does by the Spirit of God, changing our heart. And then to be fishers of men, that means we have identified and are involved in the very mission of Christ. We become his hands, his feet, his body in the earth. That was the purpose. When Jesus left, he's not here. Jesus can't minister. We, the members of his body, his church, can. Praise God. And so he told us to go. And that means we can't go and stay simultaneously. We have to do something. What are we going to do with what Jesus said? And you see and understand, as we're changed with a vision of God, that's what we need. When God, when he does that, he allows us to have that experience in him, we begin to see what he sees and what he understands. You know, we're so quick to put people in categories. Remember high school? Peer pressure is so prevalent and so powerful at that particular age level. But remember, if I can use today's terminology, you know, there were the academic nerds, there were the smokers, there were the sport jocks. We tend to classify people, but really, in terms of all the people in the world, all of humanity, there's only two categories that really matter. It's the saved and the lost. Now, what's the problem of being lost? Well, beloved, there's sin, there's separation, and there's suffering. What do I mean by that? Well, sin, beloved, that's responsible for all the evil, all the wickedness in the world. Even the best of men, those who live, you know, good lives. Well, I'm good. I should be able to go to heaven. No, beloved, your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. It's not going to get you into heaven. The only thing that's going to get you into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ, to recognize that you're a sinner, to ask Jesus into your heart and ask him to cleanse you with his precious blood. Blood, and to dwell within your heart and allow him to change you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Beloved, we need to understand that sin, you know, we don't like that word today. We skirt around it. We say, well, you know, I have failings. I'm, you know, not perfect. No, let's call it what it is, sin. And for those that are lost, that means there's separation from God. If you die as a sinner, you're separated from God for eternity. We're separated from God as we're born into the world by our carnal nature. Think of this. You don't have to teach a child to sin. They just do it on their own. It's just inbred. It's instinctive in them. And then, beloved, suffering is really real. There is a place called hell. Their people don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it. They reject it. They reason it away. But, beloved, there is such a place as hell, where there's everlasting torment. It was created for the devil and his angels. You know, I heard recently a preacher say this. I could hardly believe it, but this is what he said. He said a poll was taken among evangelistic Christians, and there were 62% of them that didn't believe in hell, but 99% believed in heaven. To me, that's hard to believe, but, you know, the gospel tells us that we're saved from the wrath to come. Beloved, my time has flown, and I've only just covered the first area, so we're just going to have to continue on another broadcast. I invite you to join me at the same time. We're heard Monday through Friday. But thank you so much for listening. I pray that the Lord just blesses your life, and if you need the support of agreeing prayer, that's why I'm on this station. That's why I'm on this broadcast. That's why I love answering the mail and corresponding, because it's my life's mission from God. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give you our contact information. I love you. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.